May be seated. Turn in your Bibles this evening to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. We'll be reading together the entirety of the Psalm, verses 1 through 15. Hear now the Word of God. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies, and my ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thus far, God's word. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to these words tonight, we pray that you would give us not only minds that are alert and attentive to your truth, but minds that are perceptive of how these truths impact us right now in this place. Help us, Lord, to see the glory, the beauty, the wonder of a true Sabbath day spent to your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is our final message in our series on the Sabbath day. And as such, it is designed to show us what happens when a child of God takes all these things that we have seen in recent weeks, what it is to remember the Sabbath day, what it is to keep the Sabbath day holy, what it is to turn aside from our own ways, our own pleasures, our own words, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day, honorable to the Lord. And then to see how Jesus unpacks that in Matthew 12, and we see what we are to do, what we are allowed to do, works of necessity, works of piety, works of mercy, and to do good on the Sabbath day. And finally, why that day has been changed from the seventh day Sabbath of the Old Testament to the first day Sabbath of the New Testament. Now, when you take all of that and you put it into practice, brothers and sisters, what I want you to see tonight is here is the divine example of what that looks like. Here is the divine example of what God intended for his people to experience on their appointed day of worship. Put it in other words, in this psalm, we see exactly what God wants our Sabbath day to look like. here in this psalm, which is a psalm for the Sabbath day. He's giving us a guide. He's giving us a pattern. This is how our Sabbaths should be structured. These are the things that our Sabbaths should be built upon and around. This is the divine example for that. And here, this man after God's own heart calls us, calls God's children in every generation to unite with him and with all the people of God in the worship of a true and living God. So that in these few short verses, he paints a picture for us of what a well-spent Sabbath is like. Specifically, and this would be the thesis statement if you want one, that this day, brethren, is to be a day of exuberant worship to the living God. This is not a time for us to be lethargic. This is a time for us to pour out our hearts to God. It's a time that we are to worship with life, with energy, and with joy. And my prayer is that through this psalm, God will guide us every Lord's Day to this kind of enjoyment of God. We're going to be looking at four things that we are to spend the day joyfully praising God for his goodness. Secondly, to spend the day seriously reflecting upon God's glory. Thirdly, that we are to spend the day purposefully remembering God and his power. And lastly, we are to spend the day delightfully embracing God and his promises. So let's begin with point number one. We are to spend the day joyfully praising God for his goodness. Look at the first four verses of our text. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your works. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Just stop for a minute and look at this passage and notice the verbs. Notice what he is calling us to do. We are to give thanks. We are to sing praises. We are to declare. In other words, we are to talk about to other people his loving kindness and his faithfulness. And we are to do it, brothers and sisters, morning and evening. So that both times are to be engaged in this song for the Sabbath day. It's not just the morning, it's morning and evening. Now that is a wide variety of what we could call praise-filled exercises for us to engage in. But we can kind of highlight four areas that he's mentioning here. Number one, we are to give thanks. Every Lord's Day, we are to be lifting our hearts to God in thanksgiving for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Brethren, this is in part a day for us to consciously sit down, as it were, and number the blessings God has bestowed upon us and give thanks for those blessings. It's one of those very interesting passages. We know the words well, perhaps from Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Why do we have to be told that? Not to forget all his benefits. Because that's our nature, brethren. And God calls us to remember, to give thanks, to remember and not forget all the benefits that he has bestowed upon us. And upon remembering these things, we are to give thanks. Some of you may be familiar with Hebrews chapter 13. You might want to turn there. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Here we are in the New Testament. Here we are 1,000 years after the psalmist. And the writer of Hebrews is calling the people to do something in their worship as he closes his book in chapter 13. Verse 15 says, therefore, by him, by the Lord Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. My friends, we gather together. Peter tells us the same thing. We gather together in our worship to make spiritual sacrifices to God. Not like the old covenant. We're not bringing animals, we're not bringing lambs, we're not bringing goats or pigeons or anything else. We are to offer the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to God. That's the way that we are to engage with him on the Sabbath day. I would recommend to you as a good Sabbath afternoon exercise, you can start next Lord's Day, unless you want to go home and start tonight. But just start taking one of the Apostle Paul's prayers for the churches that he ministered to. And start reading those and thinking about the petitions and the expressions that the Apostle Paul uses. Let me give you just a quick sampling. You can follow along if you like in Philippians. Chapter 1, in Philippians chapter 1, and the Apostle Paul writes in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Now we might say, okay, well that was the Philippians. Well, turn over to the Colossians and chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, and Paul writes again, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And you say, okay, Pastor, well, two times the apostle prayed and gave thanks. Well, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And would you like to guess how he begins his prayer? Listen to his words. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. The point is, brothers and sisters, that the Apostle Paul, time and time and time and time again, is giving thanks. We are to assemble ourselves before God, and we are to give thanks to his name. Secondly, we are to sing praises. I think perhaps nearly everyone, if not everyone in this room, acknowledges the obligation that we have to praise God, to give thanks for his blessings. But we might not always take note of the manner in which God wants that praise to be given. We are to sing His praises. This, of course, is not the only place where we find this exhortation. We started off this morning with Colossians, or this evening with Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to the Lord. Brethren, God loves singing. James chapter 5 says, is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders to come and pray and anoint him with oil. And then he says, is anyone cheerful? Any of you cheerful tonight? James says, let him sing psalms. Let him sing. God loves singing, and too few of His people make adequate use of worshipful singing, especially in the worship service. My friends, I know there are a lot of different reasons sometimes for people not to sing, but I can tell you that it grieves us to stand up here and see people not sing. Sing praises. That's the way we praise and worship on the Sabbath day. That's the divine commandment from this psalm for the Sabbath day. Some of you may be familiar with Martin Luther's tremendous statement about music and singing. This is what Luther says: the devil, the originator of all sorrowful anxieties and restless troubles, flees before the sound of music almost as much as before the Word of God. Satan hates singing praises to God. God loves that singing. Now, you may be sitting there and thinking, Pastor, you've never heard me sing. I don't have a very good voice. Ladies and gentlemen, sing anyway. It doesn't matter. You're not singing so the person next to you can hear it. You're singing praise to God. Include singing in your times of family worship. Parents, now is the time to teach your children to sing joyfully and praise God, so that when they come to the public worship, they engage in that time and don't fiddle around while everyone else is singing. They learn to sing to God His praise. So that is one of the ways in which we can sing to Him. With all our hearts and minds, let us sing praises to God, to exalt the name of the Lord. Let us declare His loving kindness and faithfulness by singing. Listen to a parallel verse in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Very interesting passage here because of what precedes it. In verse 18, the apostle Paul says, and do not be drunk with wine, where is it in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a present imperative. That means it could be translated, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time event. It's a continuous event. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, have you ever asked yourself or studied, what does that mean? What does that look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brethren, do you see it? One of the primary expressions of being filled with the Spirit is singing. Singing to one another, declaring the faithfulness of God in the hearing of your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's singing to the Lord joyfully and making melody in your heart to Him. And this we are to do according to Psalm 92, a psalm for the Sabbath day, in the morning and again in the evening. The pattern for our Sunday morning, evening services is the morning and evening sacrifices that were to be given to God every Sabbath day. And so this emphasis upon doing it both morning and evening. It's not the Lord's hour. It's the Lord's day. So take this psalm. Follow the pattern. Here is the divine example. And start setting apart the whole day unto God. The last thing that we see here under this point of joyfully praising God is that we are to do it with gladness. What does he say? For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. Brethren, we are to give thanks, we are to sing praises, and we are to do it with gladness. Because the Lord has made us glad by His work. And I have to stop and wonder if not one of the reasons that people do not keep the Sabbath day as God intended, because they know very little of this gladness. What I would ask you tonight is, do you? Is your soul glad? Are you glad to be here, to be in the presence of God, and to give thanks to Him and to sing praises to Him? Does that fill you with joy? Has God given you a new heart to love Him and serve Him? Young people, has God given you a new heart so that you want to be here? This is the best place you could possibly think of being right now, because you love God. Has God forgiven your sin? If He has, brethren, you ought to be glad at what God has done. Has He given you His Holy Spirit and filled you with that Spirit? Has He begun a good work in you, and is He continuing that work right now? Are you conscious of the fact that God is working in you like a potter over a vessel of clay, molding and shaping it into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Brethren, when we begin to see the work of grace, when we really understand the work of grace that's going on in our own souls, we're going to praise God. We're going to give thanks to Him, and we're going to do it with joyful hearts. It's very similar to what we heard this morning. Worship is the response to redemption. It's no wonder that Noah comes out of the ark and immediately makes those sacrifices to God. Secondly, let's turn our attention to the fact that we are to spend the day seriously reflecting on God and His glory, particularly as we see it expressed in verses 5 and 6. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Your works, your thoughts are very deep. The Sabbath day, ladies and gentlemen, the Sabbath day would be far more productive and enjoyable if we would give more of it to serious reflection on God. What are the works of the Lord? There are so many passages that we could turn to talk about what they are. The psalmist himself is the one who gives us a very detailed description of the works of creation. In Psalm 19, of the works of deliverance out of Egypt in Psalm 107, of the beauty and wonders of the law of God and the word of the Lord in Psalm 119, of the providential ways in which God works in all our lives, at all times, in all places, even before we were born, God was working, fashioning all our days, according to Psalm 139. And brethren, we can add to those glorious themes many New Testament doctrines like the incarnation, the cross, the resurrection of Christ, the return of Christ. The pastor was making reference earlier to the admonition that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy. Give yourself to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Meditate on these things. When is the last time that you took time on the Sabbath day to sit down and think seriously about some doctrine of Scripture? We are to use this day for serious thoughts upon God, upon His works, what He's doing now, what He has done, what He will do. Think about those things. Meditate on those things. Now, I understand. We live in a day that is pretty much averse to any serious thinking about anything. But you know what? So did the psalmist. And so, what does he say? A senseless man doesn't know. The fool, he doesn't understand. The point is simply this. A lot of people don't care. They don't care about any of these things. They don't care about stopping throughout their busy day and considering who God is and what He's done. But ladies and gentlemen, we do. If we love God, and if we're going to use the Sabbath day, as this psalm for the Sabbath day suggests, to think about God, to think about His works, to think about His thoughts. This is a day to take time to think about God's work of creation, to think about God's work of redemption, to think about God's work of sanctification. What He's doing now, leading us farther and farther down the road of holiness, and to pray for that and to look for ways to improve that. We need to be thinking about God's works. We need to meditate on the sermons that we've heard. We need to talk about what God is thinking. Have you ever considered that? What is God thinking about? You know, the promise that we read as we prepared our hearts tonight from Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're good thoughts to give you a future, to give you a hope, Brethren, take time to consider God's thoughts. Do you know what the Apostle Paul is referring to when he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You know the passage I'm referring to from Romans 11. I'm not going to tell you what his thoughts are there. Go find out. Use the Sabbath day for serious reflection upon God and his glory. Thirdly, we are to spend the day purposefully remembering God and his power. Beginning in verse 7, he says, when the wicked spring up like grass and all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed. But you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. And you, behold your enemies, O Lord, behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. The psalmist takes a special delight on this Sabbath day to stop and think about who God is. He is on high. And not just now and then. Not just on the good days. He is on high forever. So my friends, we are to remember God and his power. Our God, brothers and sisters, is not just one among many. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. And so we worship him and we praise him and we give thanks to him and we meditate upon him and we remember purposefully who he is. For those of you who may be following McShane's calendar, the readings this past week have been in Exodus and about the plagues God poured out upon the land of Egypt. One of the phrases that caught my eye in Exodus 12 and verse 12 was God said, I am going to execute judgment on the gods of Egypt. So our God is God of gods. And he is able to pour out judgment upon gods below him, even though they really don't exist. Here is the psalmist particular, the very specific idea of God's authority, of God's power, of God's victory over his enemies. The Lord is on high. That verse, brethren, shines against the backdrop of the wicked rising up and flourishing and prospering. But against that idea of the wicked prospering, the Lord is on high. You know, we have a tendency to become very disturbed in our own generation when we see the wicked prosper, do we not? And hardly a day goes by but we don't have some fresh occasion to think about, Lord, why do you let these godless, wicked individuals prosper and seem to succeed in their endeavors? And the psalmist reminds us here, as he does in Psalm 73 with Asaph, saying, they will be destroyed. Their foot is in a slippery place. The wicked may spring up and prosper, but the Lord's enemies will perish. He has, and he does, and he will prosper and prevail over all the wicked. And brethren, what a comfort that can be to us. Think of Joseph's staggering confession to his brothers when he tells them at the end of the whole story, you meant it for evil. What you did was evil. But God stood that on its head and turned it into good. Think about what happens with Haman in the account of Esther, of how this man wickedly designed a plan and seemed to be prevailing and prospering, that he was going to wipe out the people of God. And God turns it upside down and ends up hanging Haman on his own gallows. Remember that classic passage from Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Brethren, remember, purposefully remind yourself, the Lord is on high forevermore. Lastly, we are to spend the day delightfully embracing God and His promises. Look at verses 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit even in old age. Think about what a glorious promise this is, particularly for those of you, unlike myself, that are getting up in years. You might think, Lord, what's the purpose? What usefulness do I have? This is the promise of God. You will flourish in the courts of the Lord. You will still bear fruit. Brethren, the opportunities for those of you that are up in years, the wisdom, the life experience that you have so much to give. You can still bear fruit. Embrace this promise and say, Lord, give me opportunities. Give me those times where I can still show forth your praise and declare your loving kindness and your faithfulness. Look at the way he describes it. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, I've never been to Lebanon. I've never seen the cedars of Lebanon. I have been to the redwood forest in California. Massive trees. And you just stand in amazement. That's the idea here, brother. They're going to grow. The cedars of Lebanon were legendary because of their size and strength. And he says, that's the way the righteous are going to be. They are going to flourish. He's not talking about material prosperity. He's talking about spiritual fruit. They're going to flourish. They're going to be bright green. You go outside right now and so many of those trees out there look dead. But this is going to be like going out there in the springtime where they're covered with green leaves. They're full of sap. They're alive. They're producing fruit. And that's the picture of the righteous. My friends, we face all kinds of uncertainties in this world. We don't know from one day to the next what is going to happen to our jobs. We don't know what's going to happen to the money we set apart in the bank. We don't know what's going to happen to our health. It can change in an instant. We don't even know what's going to happen to our country. But this we know, that God will bless the righteous and they will flourish in the courts of the Lord. They will bear fruit even in their old age. They will declare that the Lord is upright and He is our rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. My friends, if we will love God and obey God, we will know this flourishing and abundant fruit in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but there is nothing I so long to see as that. God, make me fruitful. Cause me to flourish spiritually. I don't want to just get by. I want to honor God. And it's these thoughts that ought to fill our prayers and our praises on the Sabbath day. Giving thanks, praising God with great joy, thinking seriously and reflecting on His glory, on His works, on His thoughts, purposefully remembering His power. There's none like Him. And then delightfully embracing the promises that He has given us. And this is just one. And are there not thousands from one cover to the other cover of Scripture? Let us spend the day, brethren, doing things that we don't have time to do on other days and delighting in the Lord, His Word, and His promise. May God bless these words to our lives and make us fruitful to His glory. Let's pray.